forget about ourselves. So let us forget about ourselves. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us lift up hands. All stand as we sing it once more. So let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name to worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands to magnify His name to worship Him. And let us lift up holy hands to magnify. To be praised this morning. We just greet everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope you're happy to be here to just worship and to see what the Lord has for us this morning. We have many needs, but we serve a God that can meet every one of them. Amen. Let's just sing that chorus once more as Brother Terrence comes to open the service with prayer.
We have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Him. Have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Him. We have come into His house to magnify His name to worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Good morning. Let's see one with us this morning. We have a few requests. Remember mom and dad. Dad's not feeling that well. He just got that cold that he always gets, coughing. But they're going to go get tested just to make sure, but everything's well. They're going this morning to be tested. But like I said, they're all in good shape. Remember Brother Donnie, he's sick also with a bad cold. And Sister Susan always wants protection for her mom. To stay healthy in this time too, so. Sister Angie Brown has an unspoken request, remember that. And Brother Rhino gave me one, says thank you for the prayers about their trip. They all went well and they got them an island, bought them an island. So now anybody needs to go down to Rhino Island, you can talk to him and you can get you a trip down there. So, but just remember the ones, I'm sure there's some traveling today, so just be with him. Be with Brother Bob, will be preaching this morning, so remember him. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling or will be traveling this week. Just come down and bless them, be with them and guide them. Be with mom and dad there, Lord. Remember, special dad, all will be well and test to be negative, Lord. We know he's just got a bad cold. Just take that away. And Brother Donnie, same way, Lord. Just come down and bless him this morning. Remember Susan's mom, Lord. All the ones, Lord, just keep this virus and sickness away, this weather changing, Lord. We all come down with these colds and things, Lord. Just take those things away from us. All the other spoken and unspoken requests that we've had, just be with us and guide us. Be with Bob there, Lord. Brother Bob, be preaching this morning. Just bless him. Keep him, Lord, and let us have the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Only believe, for all things are possible if you will only believe. Yes, only believe. Only believe, for all things are possible. Only Jesus is here. Is here, and all things are possible, for Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here. Jesus is here, and all things are possible. Jesus is here. The tomb now is empty, and the stone is rolled away. For Christ is alive in my heart, and death which is conquered, oh, in me hath no part. For Christ is alive in my heart. Oh, what a promise. Yes, the tomb now is empty. The stone is rolled away. And Christ is alive in my heart. Conquered in me hath no part. Oh, Christ is alive in my heart. Is that your confession this morning? Oh, the tomb now is empty, and the stone is rolled away, and Christ is alive in my heart. Conquered in me hath no part, for Christ is alive in my heart.
Amen. That tomb is empty. There's no other grave that we can point to that any religion's been made, but our Christ, our God, is the resurrection and life. Amen. He rolled away that stone in her heart to make her heart a heart of flesh that he may live. Brother Michael, could you come and take the offering this morning? Amen. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Father.
Give us some guidance today, Lord, and worship you and praise you in the precious name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's sing that chorus, Don't Lose Your Vision of Jesus, in the key of F. Let's all stand as Brother Colin comes for their responsive reading.
Don't lose your vision of Jesus. Keep your eyes ever on Him. Many friends and dear loved ones have lost their way. They have lost their vision of Him.
Thank God again that we're able to come together to worship. I just say pray that He will always lead and guide us. You know, when we get to a place that we think that we can't do anything anymore, but there's one can. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll do whatever we have need of. Just trust and believe Him and just keep holding on. Remember His name. We're going to read this morning from Psalms 19. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful, God, and thankful for all the blessings, Lord, you have promised and all that you have given. Lord, we know that the manifestation of your word is waiting for us to accept it and to take it and hold fast to it. Lord, we ask that you will just lead us and guide us, Lord, through all temptations and troubles. Lord, when things seem too great for us, Father, let us just know that we can surrender unto one that can heal, that can save. Lord, we believe you. And we ask you this morning, Lord, to touch each and every heart, Father, that is here. If they have problems within their hearts, in their bodies, in their spirits, Lord, we ask that you would just take it away. Lord, we love you, and we know each day that you love us. For the blessings that you grant unto us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork.
Day unto day, utter speech, and night unto night, showeth knowledge.
There is no speech, no language. And in all the earth are words to the end of the earth, and in them has he set a tabernacle for the sun. Okay. His going forth is from the end of the earth, end of the heaven, and his circuits unto the end of it, and more there is hid from the heat thereof.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise as simple.
The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than the honeycomb and the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults.
Keep back thy servant.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God bless you. May be seated.
Amen. The word of the Lord is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Amen. His presence is so sweet to us this morning. Can we sing that song, Master of the Wind, in B flat? Amen. We know he's the master of every circumstance in our life. Who was listening to the message last night when Jesus comes. He comes in the darkest hours. When all hope is gone, there Jesus comes. And all it takes is just one word from our master. And the circumstances change. Amen. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a Father, He watches over me. When the breeze turns into the gale, I know sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometime I soar like an eagle in the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. But an unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. Bring me low, but never bring me down. And I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. Hallelujah. He can calm a storm, make the sun shine again. And I know the master of the wind. Let's sing that first verse again. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail. But I have a Father, He watches over me. When the breeze turns into the gale. You think for the I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. And He can calm a storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. But an unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. It brings me low, but never brings me down. I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. And He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the maker of the wind. Let's sing that chorus once more. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. And He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the rain. Amen. Hallelujah. You happy for that this morning? That we know Him and He knows us. Amen. Let's turn to page 675, the Spiral Songbook. I'm just so thankful that we have that relationship with our Lord. And we're His children, claiming the promises, walking in His Word. And anything that comes our way, He's in control. We just hand it over to Him this morning. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for Calvary this morning. Years I spent in vanity and pride, oh, caring not my Lord was crucified. Sin I learned then, I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Oh mercy, there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. Everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. Salvation's plan, and oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty God of then span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. Sing that last verse again. Oh, what a love. Oh, that love that drew salvation's plan. And oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. And mercy there was great, and grace was free. Turn to page 477 in your spiral songbook. Hallelujah. That decision to follow Christ is the greatest decision you'll ever make. I was at a service the other night, and a brother, he said something that's very unique. You know, the scripture says that he chose us in Christ. He said the only thing you have to do is you have to choose what God chose you. He chose you, and you accept and choose to accept his choosing of you. That's how he put it. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
No turning back. let's all stand. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The cross before me.
Never turn back on us. Amen. And I'm so happy for that. It's the love of God in our hearts this morning. Let's change the order of the service as our brother comes this morning. I'm just thankful for our brother. Let's just keep all the ones in prayer that are not here. I believe soon and very soon we'll be gathered together, not only back here, but at a glorious resurrection. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh Jesus, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see.
To be in the house of the Lord this morning. Doesn't it just do something good to get around other believers and
yes,
be able to fellowship?
Thank you.
It's like we really are bringing our little licks of fire together, and they all come together into just a great big symphony of fellowship and worship, and we really should have something to worship about in this day. We're going to go this morning to 1 Peter chapter 5, and before we go to the scripture, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and remember all the ones that are gone this morning, Brother Luis and Brother Burley's and Brother Dale and Nanny and all the different ones that are sick and needy. Lord God, we're so grateful, Lord, this morning for your word, Lord, and we're so grateful that you sent a comforter, Lord God, that you came yourself, Lord Jesus, to minister, to manifest your word in this day as Brother Colley was saying there in his prayer, Lord, if we can just accept your word, then you will manifest your word in this hour. Lord, as we look into your word this morning, I pray, God, that you'll help us to open, just open up our hearts, Lord Jesus, that you'll, anyone here, Lord, that has not fully opened their heart to receive your word, that you'd prick them, Lord God, and keep after them, Lord God, until they yield to you. That's all of our desires this morning, Lord Jesus, is to not have not one left out, Lord God, but we might all be one great body working together to see your kingdom fulfilled, Lord, here in earth, here in our earth. We pray, God, that you'll minister to all the sick and the needy this morning and be with all the ones that need a special touch from you this morning. Be with Brother Luis this morning as he ministers, and Brother Dale and Sister Nanny, Sister Peggy, Lord God, as they're going to the doctor this morning. We pray. Ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to take kind of a strange little topic. The proof that you took the vaccine. That's kind of a strange topic in these times. What's the proof that you took the vaccine? Lately I've been taking a message that Brother Bram preached and just really kind of meditating very deeply on every little jot and tittle that Brother Branham said. So this morning I want to really kind of break down the message. He cares. Do you care? And just really see what Brother Branham was trying to convey in that message. And one of the things, one of the main points in that message is he kind of gets, as he kind of gets into the topic, he begins to talk about taking the vaccine and how do you know if you actually took it or not and those kind of things. So let's meditate on those things this morning as we read 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 1 to 8. And it's really interesting that Peter is talking in this scripture. He's talking to the elders. He said, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a Peter, a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. But to live a life in front of people so that you can influence them. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, I got that in bold there because I think that is such a critical scripture. Because it's so easy to begin to get lifted up within yourself. Ministers, laity, people begin to get so puffed up within themselves and until they won't listen to correction. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Because we want him to do the exalting, not ourselves. Not for ourselves to put ourselves at the chief place at the feast, but to be invited to come and sit at the chief place. Now here's the main point of this morning's message. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I want to kind of start this message this morning with a very strange quote. We're going to talk about Martin Luther King. Because Brother Branham started this message, He Cares, Do You Care, with talking about why he believed that Martin Luther King was approaching things the wrong way. And he said, if we pull up that first quote, he said, no, I was just talking about Martin Luther King on this great disaster that they're having in the South with the colored people. I said, if those people were slaves, I'd take my church and go south to help them people out of slavery. In other words, he would want to help people out of slavery. Now, just kind of set in your mind as I read these quotes, the point that I'm trying to make is that the gospel is the power of salvation to change lives. The gospel is the power of salvation to change lives. And Brother Branham was looking at this situation of all of this conflict being stirred up and people rioting and things kind of similar to what's going on today. And he said, it's inspired of the wrong thing, you see, them people. And that's the reason I say that. Not that there is any prophecy concerning it. I have nothing on it from the Lord. And see, this is that sermon where he says, it's just my opinion that he's going to lead them into a slaughter and all that kind of thing. And if I say anything from the Lord like that to tell you, it's always I'm speaking now. But when he speaks, I say it's not me. It's thus saith the Lord. And I can't say it until he tells me. I could be altogether wrong in my thought about Martin Luther King. I don't know. I can say that's just my opinion. Anything that rises up trouble, that's what's supposed to be in the last days. Now, let me stop right here on what he just said about that's just my opinion. Because I was talking to somebody the other day and they were talking about how that a lot of things that Brother Branham says is his opinion. Well, you know, you got to be careful about that, because you can think that he's saying something of himself, and you'll just kind of run off with, you'll ignore something that could help you, something that's actually part of the word that he's trying to manifest through the preaching of the word. So you have to wait. You have to trust him to tell you whether or not it's his opinion or not. If you just cherry pick and say, well, I think that's his opinion, you could be headed down the wrong path. You've got to be very careful about that. Now we believe that God sent a prophet, and so we're relying on the prophet's words. I was listening to that sermon that Andrew Glover preached here the last night, and he was talking about how when he started preaching, he thought that everybody, if you just quote the prophet, that everybody would agree with you and say yes and nod their head. But it turns out that that's not true, because a lot of people have trouble just opening up their heart. They have a problem recognizing what's taking place in this day, that this was not just a message from that a man came up with or something like that. This was a message straight from the throne of God, straight to your heart, straight from the deep calling to the deep, from God's soul to your soul. If you could just recognize it, unless Brother Branham says that it's his opinion, take it at face value and just hang on to it and meditate on it until God reveals to you the true nature of the thing. He said, I don't know. I can't say. That's just my opinion. Anything that rises up trouble, that's what's supposed to be in the last days. And it's all inspired of Satan to break up our commonwealth and whatever we have, anything that rises up like that. So I'm for those people down there. Don't you never think that I'm not. Let me read that again. I'm for those people down there. Don't you never think I'm not. I'm for freedom and for everything. But the people doesn't have that situation under now. Now, all of these kind of quotes and things that can be very confusing to somebody that's meditating and thinking about aligning themselves with the political arena of the day and just the way that people in the world wants you to think. But align the reason why he called these things out is to align yourselves with the gospel. And in the message, the third Exodus, I had it on my phone, but I guess I left it in my office. So I wrote it down also here. So hopefully, Lord willing, I can read my handwriting. He said, them people, if they got a hard heart, he's talking about the people in the South. Yes, I'm struggling reading my handwriting. Y'all laughing. If they got a hard heart and don't know these things, you can't drive into a people's spiritual things what is beat in there with political powers. They've got to accept it, be born again, then they'll see these things. So the point that he's trying to make amongst all these comments is that you can't change the world by forcing people. You can't change the world by trying to beat them into letting you come into their schools, into their programs. You can't change the world. But what you can do, the thing that will change the world is the gospel of Jesus Christ, a born again experience. Now that's the thing that I perceive that many people, let me be bold and say, even here in this church, struggle to understand the importance of being born again. Because being born again will actually change your heart. It can change your heart to where a black man and a white man will love one another and can sit at the table and fellowship with one another. It can change the heart to where an old Pharisee and a Sadducee can sit down with somebody and one another and sit together in harmony and love. It can change your heart. And see, we're not trying to change our hearts by being good people. We're not trying to come to church to just be good and good citizens and everything, but we're trying to be born again. Because when the Holy Ghost comes and quickens the word that you've held, it will change your life. You see, Laodiceans are more concerned about their rights being infringed. Laodiceans are more concerned about their feelings being hurt. Or what is in the Constitution? Do you realize how many times the Constitution has been amended? Been rewritten, things taken out and put back in, called amendments. The Constitution has been constantly changing since the founding fathers wrote it. But I tell you one thing that hasn't changed is the Word of God. The Word of God is eternal. It's been the same. It's been unchanging. It never changes. Nothing will ever be added. Nothing will ever be removed because it is consistent. It is reliable. If you can just let go and accept the Word of God, then you too can be part of that unchanging Word. But you see, that's our problem. Yeah. Brother Bram said, he said, and now listen to this quote. He said, this United States, he began to talk about how the government was trying to make him make him pay all those overdue taxes and things that they said he owed. He said, this government now tells me that I can't even sign a check that's given to me personally. See, that's constitutional rights taken from me. But what can I do about it? Just go ahead. That's all. Now, I wonder, sitting here today, let's meditate on this and examine yourself. How many of our lives and our thoughts is this quote contrary to? Because we think many times that we should get all riled up about somebody violating our constitutional rights or somebody forcing us to do something that we don't think we should be able to do. But he said, just go ahead. That's all. See? And it has to go through another system before I, as a citizen of the United States, can cash a check. It has to come through this church. I can't cash it. See? And that's not right. That's unconstitutional. But what can I do about it? There's nothing. This tax collector down here is the one told me I couldn't do it. So, well, there it is. If it is, what of it? So just let it go. Now, he's not saying something that they're trying to force him to do something contrary to the word, you see. But he's talking about the little things like paying overdue taxes, paying taxes that they wanted him to do, forcing him to do things like that. He's saying just let it go. You see what real Christian love is not riling up and getting all a temper tantrum and telling somebody, well, I've got to, you can't talk to me like that. But real Christian love is wanting peace and wanting to be in one accord with one another and standing for something that's real and true, not something that's fake. You see the reason why Brother Branham kept hitting on the things that Martin Luther King was doing was because he was trying to rile up people for something through political force. Force something into being instead of trusting in the power of the gospel of the spoken word. Because there is power in the gospel. Amen. There is power in the gospel. But you got to believe it. Amen. So as Brother Branham began to talk about in this sermon, he cares, do you care? He began to talk about, you know, how much we are needy people and how, you know, even this morning sitting in this church, there's many people that are needing different things. Everybody has a special need and some are needing salvation. Some are needing the new birth. Many realize that they need the new birth. Many don't realize they need the new birth. Maybe this morning maybe the veil from your eyes can be lifted up to cause you, if you don't realize that you need to be born again, to open your eyes to the understanding that there's something wrong in your life and that you need God. Amen. Maybe that this morning there's many people seeking healing and they're troubled in the flesh. And I know there are many people seeking healing. I was texting with a brother last night and he began to tell me all the ones that are suffering from sickness, from coronavirus all around, and some are in the hospital and different kind of things. And you see, people are needy and God made us that way so that we would rely on God and not upon our own selves. And so as Brother Branham was ministering this message, he's trying to get a point across that God cares. Cause you see, you get so close to your sickness and to your job troubles and to all these things and you begin to forget that you begin to think that God wants you to be uncomfortable. And the message we were listening to in the car this morning, I forget the title, but it was one of these about God cared. He began to preach about how that God does not want you to be uncomfortable. And he began to relate how if a mother is ministering to her little sick child and rubbing his head and everything in the middle of the night, she might be doing that sick herself. And that's how God is. He doesn't want you to be sick. He doesn't want you to be uncomfortable. He wants you to be able to live a prosperous life so that you're whole in your body, so that you can serve him with all of your faculties. And many times we begin to get in our head that God wants to be sick. He wants me to suffer. He wants me to go all these things. Suffering can cause you to, can build character and suffering can help you as part of your journey. But God doesn't want you to stay in a state of suffering. Many times suffering, the point of it is to bring you closer to God so that you realize that you need him. But God doesn't want you to suffer and he doesn't want you to be sick. So don't wonder this morning if God still cares about you, because he does care. Listen, he cares for the old people. He cares for young people. He cares for the young people that might be living in an old broken home with mama's over here and daddy's over there and you don't know who your real daddy is or whatever, but he still cares for you. Brother Branham said he cares if you, despite all of your failures and all the times that you've tried and failed, he still cares for you. You think about a God like that, that despite
all of your failings and all of your shortcomings and all the times that you've messed up and all the times that you've made a mistake, but yet God is still on the scene and he still cares for you. He still cares. And you know what? He sent his Holy Spirit into the church to prove that he cares. That's why he's here this morning. That's why the angels are lining the wall, to show to you that he still cares, that he wants you to just give in and open the door of your heart so that he can come in. He said, now Brother Branham, when he was preaching this message, he was preaching it in preparation for a prayer line. So the people were already in expectation to come forward and go through the prayer line and receive what they were seeking. Now this morning in this church, we're not in preparation for a prayer line, but yet you can still receive whatever you have need of if you will just follow the recipe that Brother Branham outlined as he was preaching this message. You don't have to, you can be like Cornelius and just say, Lord, just speak the word. You don't have to go through a prayer line. You don't have to have somebody lay hands on you. You can just, let me stay on track. I was about to go off track here. Listen, Brother Branham said, if you do not have faith, then there's no need of even coming to be prayed for, because it's going to take your faith and my faith together. My faith to believe him, your faith to believe him. Now let's think about that now. If God cares and you care, that's lining up the word together. That's lining up something in harmony. If I believe and you believe, I believe the word that I'm preaching and you believe the word that I'm preaching. I believe it and I can back it up by scripture. I believe and I'm showing you what the gospel says, and you sit there and you believe, and we're in harmony. Now something has got to happen. If two or three agree concerning anything, it's got to happen. That is the scripture. That is the word. If I believe and you believe, then something's got to happen. If you get two people together and they believe on the word, something's got to happen. But you've got to believe, you've got to have faith. How can you expect anything to happen without faith? And so we're going to examine it in this message this morning, what goes into having faith. There's a recipe that Brother Branham outlines, exactly what you need to do so that your heart can soften up, exactly your approach to the gospel, your approach to the word, so that you can look at it with the right frame of mind, so that something will spark and something will happen. He said, so we don't forget this now as I go along. We've got to have something evidently with evidence. I mean, that we can base our faith upon what we're trying to do. Because if a man approaches anything that he wants to do without sufficient faith, he's bound to be a failure. But if he can approach it with sufficient faith, then he's bound to succeed if it is according to God's will and purpose to do it. Now think about a promise like that, that if you come with faith, it is bound to succeed. You are bound to succeed. You are bound to succeed, just like that little woman that said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, that I will be made whole. And she came with the right approach, the right sincerity, the right everything. And she believed the word, because in Matthew chapter 9 verse 20 says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Now she doesn't come with books and books of theology and all this kind of stuff. She didn't come with a minister dragged behind her, but she came with her own pure, simple faith, believing that if she could just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. You know that's how you approach God for every promise of God written in his word, whether it's the Holy Ghost, whether it's healing, whether it's the salvation of your children. You approach God with that same simple faith that little woman reached out and touched the hem of his garment. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. That's all she said. She didn't say, if I can have a big long conversation with him, if I can get all worked in emotion, but if I can just touch the hem of his garment. So you see, that's our problem. We begin to say, it's not for me. It won't work. It won't work. It's not effective. Me and Zach were talking about one of his friends in the message the other day about how that's exactly the words that he would relate. I've tried it and it won't work. I keep trying to be delivered and it won't work. I go back and it's like I go around in circles. But I want to ask you this morning, if you're going around and around in circles and it doesn't seem to be effective, have you accepted it the way that Brother Branham said to accept it? Have you received the prescription? Have you taken the vaccination the way that it's supposed to be taken? Have you believed it with all of your heart? Have you received it with the open door? You see, this medicine is not to be haphazardly chugged with a glass of water like some appeal that you got in your cabinet. This medicine is to be taken with sincerity, with an honest and a contrite heart, coming into church not laughing and joking and all those kind of things. But this medicine has got to be received the right way. First, you've got to believe that he cares. Listen, Brother Branham. He began to expound all these different stories of how that to show that God cares. Now see, right now I'm preaching about how much God cares. And if you're asleep in this church, I wonder how much you care. I wonder if your eyes are beginning to slumber. I wonder if the gospel could wake you up right now to the revelation that God cares for you. That God cares whether or not you care or not. God still cares for you. Even if you don't care, God still cares. God cares enough to die for you on the cross. Even if you're slumbering, even if you're asleep, even if you look with half eyes that you don't care right now, God still cares for you. Brother Bram said he was talking about this minister, a leader that had been bound by a complex. And he said he went there and seen this handsome young man sitting there just in the peak of his life, a leader of young men sitting there, and Satan bound him. He said he never noticed, but I took my hand to shake hands with his hand to see if some disease had plagued him. But there was no sign of vibration coming right out of the room from praying and fasting and waiting upon the Lord. The anointing of the Holy Spirit was there, and that's why it let us see. And then seeing the shadow of darkness over him. I never said what I was doing, but in less than a couple of moments' time, it was all gone. The coldness of his hands had left. He was shouting and praising God a few minutes to find himself. And here they sit here right this morning sitting in the audience. See how Satan was trying to upset that young man by referring to him of some complex to be built back, which the Holy Spirit knew. But God cared for that man. God cared for that young boy. Do you realize, I wonder how many of us sitting here in this audience this morning would care for a minister that had been backslidden, would care for somebody that's supposed to be a leader that had gotten waylaid and tossed to the side and the devil had got all trapped up. But you see, even when we don't care for somebody, God still cares. That's how much God still loves us. Even when we're unlovable, God still loves us. Brother Branham began to talk about this sister that had been searching for deliverance for 9 years. And then when she finally met somebody that could tell her the truth, she realized that God still cared for her. And she said, Brother Branham, just a word with you. Standing there, a vision broke over this fine looking young woman and see that her heart was burdened and she was trying to work to make a living. And a great thing happened way back in the time of her parents that had caused this great thing to happen to her. And the Lord Jesus revealed it and showed what it was. And there in a moment's time took it from the woman. She went around rejoicing and now sitting here in the audience with us now rejoicing with tears as she's wiping her eyes now. Knowing that the truth of the thing was made known. Do you realize why she was delivered? She began to get an understanding that God cared about her. That life was not some meaningless existence that you walk through and just go from your birth to your death and there's no purpose in life. But God has a purpose for you. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be comfortable. God wants you to be healthy and wealthy and what? Well, maybe not wealthy, but God wants you to be. God wants you to be what his plan for you is. You see, when he was on earth, he cared for the people so much till he healed their sick. He comforted their hearts. He told them about a place where he would go and prepare for them and would come again to receive them unto himself. And when he left, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Holy Spirit and he shall continue my care for you until he returns. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He said, his body, Brother Branham, he explained it like this. He said, his body as a high priest and a mediatorial work that he's doing now, that body must be in the presence of God at all times for intercession, that God cannot see the sinner's sin. He sees only the blood of his own son. When you recognize that, when you accept that, you are taking the vaccine, and the vaccination gives you a comfort. to know that God is not looking at your mistakes. When you come to God and ask for forgiveness and confess your sins, God no more sees your mistakes and your problems and your iniquity, but it's under the end of the sea of God's forgiveness. It's under the blood, and He's looking at your mistakes and your sins through that shed blood. What kind of a comfort that should give to the church this morning to know that God is not looking at your mistakes and your faults and failures, but He's looking at you through the sacrifice, the atoning blood that He already made. He's looking at you through what He's already done and not what you are doing. You see, He cared on earth as He healed people and all those things, but He sent His Spirit back into the church to continue that care. He was to continue to care for the people, His people here on earth, in the same manner that He cared for them when He was here. Because John 15 says, when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. Brother Branham said, in other words, He will do the same thing He did. The Holy Spirit, working through a tabernacle that He had sanctified, would do the same thing He did. You talk about a comfort now. Now, this should elevate our faith. Because if He healed the sick when He was on earth, if that same Comforter is in you, you can trust that same Comforter for that same healing that He gave back then. If you need the Holy Ghost, that same Comforter is here right now to give it to you. If you don't have to wait. It's not some far off thing that we push way off in the future. It's here, ready, right now for you to receive it. In the building, waiting on you, standing by. Now what that ought to do for us. Then we know that right among us today we have the same comforting Lord Jesus in the form of the Holy Ghost. Another office that God Himself is working in. He was a comforter when they could look up and see the pillar of fire and hear the prophet speak the words that was true and vindicated. Do you know what vindicate means? It means when the words are spoken and God brings it to pass. When God said, when Moses said, we're going out, God proved it that they, by parting the Red Sea. When God told Moses, I'm going to provide for you, He proved it. He vindicated it by providing for them. He gave them water from a rock. He gave them food. He gave them manna in the wilderness. He took care of them. He vindicated it by proving that He was with them. And He's proving that He's with you in this hour, right now. He's proving that He's here by the Holy Ghost. He was a comforter when He's here on earth as a man. God made flesh. You promised, the works that I do shall you do also. And I am going to the Father and going to send back the Holy Spirit, which will be in me in spirit form. And I'll be with you and dwell in you. And the very same things that I've done here, the Holy Spirit will do again in my name when He comes. And that's why I believe that signs and wonders will follow them that believe, because the Comforter is still here. He hasn't left us high and dry. He still cares for us. He still cares for His church. Brother Branham said, how would you know? Because we see God manifested in flesh. How do you know that you've took the vaccination? How do you know that you've accepted the word for your day? How do you know that you're in a church, a Holy Ghost filled church that has accepted the vaccination? Because you can see God manifested in flesh. Brother Branham said He would do it in the same way. He would do it in the same way so that we would know. So that we would know whether it was a comfort from some earthly standpoint. Is the comfort you have because somebody gave you some sweet tea and invited you over for some biscuits in the morning or whatever, invited you over for some steak in the evening or whatever. Is it that's not the kind of comfort that we're at. Now listen, I'm saying the same words. I'm actually reading the quote from Brother Branham. So don't get all tired and half-eyed on me now. These are the words of the prophet. I wish I could run around and ride a unicycle or something if it will keep you awake, do some juggling or something. Brother Brown said that Christians are entertained by the word. Many times we want to come to church to see the minister entertain us and run around and do tricks and everything, but a real Christian is entertained by the word. I told you I wasn't going to do that, Brother Wade, but I did it. Hey, Brother Branham said He would do it in the same way so that we would know, so that we would have confidence whether it was a comfort from some earthly standpoint, whether we know it was a comfort from some elderly person. How about that? Some elderly person who could put their arms around us and hug us a little and make us feel good. Or some theological term of a denomination that would say, now you belong to us and we got it. I don't belong to the rest of them because they haven't. He made this directly sure, see, he will speak in my name. The works that I do will you do also when he's upon you. He would comfort in the same way by forgiving all of our sins, by healing all of our sickness, and speaking to us of a comfort of a kingdom that is to come. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it's written this way. Know about God. Without controversy, we realize that great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh. We saw God in flesh. We are seeing God in flesh. That was God's comfort, to know that he comes so much. He cared for us until he became one of us. God manifested in the flesh, not just another person, but God himself. Now, Brother Branham said in all of the different sermons that I've listened to along this line, he said, now, he, you think Brother Branham's not preaching from notes, but he followed the same pattern in these sermons. That's a comfort to me. Because, you know, a lot of times people will say, why are you preaching from notes, bro? Well, Brother Branham followed this pattern as he was preaching these things. And he said, now everybody doesn't have this comforter. And he said, so the reason they don't have it is because they don't accept it. It's for them, but they don't accept. Do you realize when you get a correct understanding of predestination that God is not pushing you through a tube? That's the way so many of us used to believe back in the day. And I hope you don't believe that now, that it hinders our ability to witness when you say, well, if they're going to come to it, they're just going to come to it. Somewhere along the line, something's going to happen. It hinders your ability to respond correctly to the gospel if you don't understand predestination correctly. God predestinates you by foreknowledge. No, he's looking right now at your choice. He looked before the foundation of the world at what your choice would be, how you would respond, whether you would accept it or not. And so he had it waiting for you if he knew that you would accept it. Do you realize, we were talking about that the other day in our home. Do you realize the grace that God has given, that he looked down from eons back and knew that you would accept it, and therefore could bring this one to the, and this one together all the way down, this one mayor and this one. And we were talking about, like, Zach has Romanian ancestors, and you think about all those wars and things, Vlad Shepes, the military leader that inspired Count Dracula and everything, that would put people on stakes, and all those, you could look across the hillside and see people just on skewered on stakes because of when he won a war, everybody got skewered, hundreds of thousands of people. And think about all those wars that God brought a line right through, because he knew that one day Zag would be sitting in this church. And I'm not just speaking on Zag because he's my son. I'm speaking on everybody here that would believe the gospel. God knew before the foundation of the world that you would accept it, and he made a way for you to accept it because he knew that you would accept it. He knew you would receive it. You talk about grace. You talk about a comfort to be able to recognize how much God cared for you, that he died on the cross for you and made a way for you and sent a prophet for you and vindicated it and showed the sign in heaven, all these things, so that you would be confident and you would know that God cared for you. Brother Branham said, if you don't accept God's comforter, you have to find some other comforter. Because you can't live without something to live for. And one message Brother Branham was talking about, you see, the problem is that you got a little spot in your heart that's got to be filled. And it was filled in the Garden of Eden. It was filled by God. And then when sin entered the picture from Abel on down to John the Baptist, it was empty. Because they were looking and waiting for something. They were waiting for something to fill that thing. And you see, down through the ages, if you don't fill that thing with God, you'll have to fill it with something. And Brother Branham said, I wrote down some things that he said that people fill it with. He said, people will think that their children, they'll think that they want their children to go to a nice ballet program or something. Because the parents want their kids to be in ballet or something, or baseball, or whatever it might be. Get them in some kind of program takes them away from the Word of God. Get them in the ballet or something he said what it is putting strychnine in them. Strychnine in them to fill that thing, that spot in their heart with something else. He said there was this lady in the service, one of his services, that she said, talking about recognizing that God cares, he said she was sitting back there and her baby began to cry. And she wasn't even a believer, but she took that baby out of the congregation. And he said, after the service, he was walking by and she said, I wish I could have heard the rest of that service. I wish I could have heard it. And he said, this is the providence of God, and began to talk to her about the Lord. And before long, she was crying and weeping. And he said, you realize what took place was that woman cared. She wanted somebody else to be able to listen to that service. And she didn't want to hinder the service by that baby crying. And she cared enough to take that baby out. And because she cared, God cared for her. You see, if you don't fill that spot up, something else will fill it. But you see, there is a present tense thirst quencher. Now, Brother Branham said, now we find out that the churches too they're always promising something, always looking for something far off. He said, like television and so forth. And I believe what he's saying there is a lot of these television programs will, like the news a lot of times, we're going to be talking about something in this news program. And they keep putting it off until you've done watched a whole hour waiting for this little 5-minute thing that they're going to be showing. They keep putting something off. And he said that they never get to the thing that they promised. As I often said, an old quotation, man is always praising God for what he did, praising God for what he will do, looking forward to what he will do, and then ignore what he's doing. And that's the way they become history after a while of the polluted sea, because they fail to recognize now. You can talk of the comfort Christ gave once and say that a comfort will give in the ages to come, but refuse the comfort that he's got here for you now. He's got it for you here now. Now, let's pull up this next quote that starts with "even to our confessions." Because I think this is a very special quote. This is a quote that Brother Branham, while he was preaching, said, listen to this quote. Now that's a very strange thing to say while you're preaching. Now let's read it. He said, even to our confessions. Now I want you people that are coming or on the tape, I want you to listen close now for a moment to this quotation. I'm saying it real slow, so they can pull it up in the back. It should be paragraph 61. That's not it. That's not it either. Even to our confessions. Now, I want you people that are coming or here and hold or on the tape, I want you to listen close now for a moment to this quotation. All right, there we go. Excellent. Now listen close, because he's going to tell you the recipe. He's going to outline it for you. And then we're going to go through this quote with painstaking deliberation. Amen. He said, unless you are deeply sincere, and you cannot be sincere until you're positive, understand. If you're presuming or guessing or hoping so, then there cannot be a depth of sincerity that God requires it. Faith is not a hope so, or it could be right. It's got to be absolutely amen. It's your ultimate. It's your absolute. It's the thing that you're tied to. See, you have come to your ultimate, that it is the truth, and there is nothing but the truth, and it must be thus. And then when you realize that in your mind, then you've got to approach it with your whole life, soul, body, all that's in you, just completely sell out everything to it. As Jesus so graciously taught us in the man buying pearls, and he found the one of great price, and he sold all his others to get to it. All the truths and everything that he had, thought they were good pearls, this one meant all to him. And when you find God's ultimate, his word, a promise upon a certain thing, you must know first that it is God's word, that the thing that you're seeing being done is God. Amen. There's no maybe so, it could be, it looks like it might be, it is God. Amen. Then when you get to that spot, then that's the pearl of great price. You must get away from anything that anybody else tells you contrary to it. Amen. You must not look to what man has achieved. You must look to what God has said and what he promised and see him to do it. Then that's your ultimate right there. And then everything that you are, everything that you was, everything that you hope to be must be placed upon this just as though it was death and life to you at that moment. Now let's go to the next slide. Excuse me. Now think about this. What he's saying is that God cares, but the question is, do you care? And he's telling you how to recognize whether or not you care or not. Do you care? Because until you care, the word cannot become activated in your life. It cannot become manifested in your life. And, you know, I wonder today, this is the hour when we should be caring more than ever. You can look around and see the things that have come upon the earth. And this is the hour when we should be getting really serious. So Brother Branham said, unless you are deeply sincere. Now, sincerity, Brother Branham said, that's what the angel told me in praying, said, if you'll be sincere and we'll get the people to believe you, and nothing shall stand before your prayer. Sincerity is what, at each stage of his ministry, as he was advancing on and going higher and higher, the angel would come to him and tell him, be more sincere. And the message paradox, just then the serpent turned to me when I said and looked at me again, and a voice came from me when he saw that vision of the serpent and said, you've been given power to bind him, the worst or any. And I said, well, God, what must I do? He said, there's one thing you must do. You must be more sincere. You must be more sincere. So if we must be more sincere, we've got to find out how to be sincere. What is sincerity? Sincerity is free from pretense or deceit, proceeding from genuine feelings. Sincerity is just being honest with yourself and expressing that in a genuine way. You're expressing the true, what you truly are. What you are is what you should be. Like I've always said, if you're a sinner, just be a genuine sinner. And then when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, then there will be a genuine transformation. Sincerity is being sober, understanding, comprehending faith, really coming to it with a sober mind, understanding that it's not something to just laugh about and we're not coming just making fun, and we're coming with sincerity because, you know, really the house of God is a place to die. And that's like a funeral home is a very sincere place because somebody's laying in the casket. And what happens in churches, people are coming to die to themselves, die out to the things of this world and become new, receive the newness of life in Christ. Amen. And Brother Branham said, what if I said now, I'm going to confess it that I done wrong. If he did something wrong with his wife or whatever, he said, I said, good Lord, old friend of mine, you know that I know you real well. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think you're a good old fella. If he was to come to God like that, would that be sincerity? Would that be an honest confession out of a sincere heart? That's not sincerity. And he said, I think one of the things that keeps our people from being healed is the lack of confession, is the lack of sincere confession. The lack of sincere confession to confess where you are, that God, I'm wrong. I've done things wrong. And to confess with a sincere heart what you believe the word, the promise of God to be, to come sincerely. God knows what kind of a person you are and what your problems are and those kind of things. Just come to him sincerely and meet him sincerely and something will happen. And the next thing is to recognize that he cares. If we could just recognize that God is on the scene right now, that he's mindful of you and your situation, that he wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said he wants to give you the Holy Ghost more than you want it. He wants to give you the Holy Ghost so much, but he can't override your free moral agency. And he's waiting on you to accept it. He's waiting on you to be sincere, to receive it with a sincere heart. He wants you to be healed. How about that? We've been thinking about the Holy Ghost and kind of looking around maybe at others, but what about your healing? If there's something wrong in your body, something in your body that needs to be healed, God is standing by to give you that healing if you can just accept it with a sincere heart. He doesn't want you to suffer. He wants the best for you. And Brother Branham said you have to approach it with all that's in you. And I think that is the definition of caring. If you look about around at others and and see somebody, like David said in Psalm chapter 69, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. You see somebody that's zealous for the Lord, that they've given everything for the Lord. That's somebody that really cares about the things of God. In Matthew chapter 11, it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You know, if you want something from God, sometimes you have to take it by force. You have to get serious with God. You have to become zealous. And a zealous, caring person is not going to be sitting at home when the doors are open. They're going to care about the word of God because their appetite has changed. When you really begin to care about God, you know from where your help comes from. And so you will seek that come what may. You'll be like Jacob, ready to just almost be a little shyster to get a blessing from God, ready to do whatever it takes. In Mark chapter 12, verse 29 to 30, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, it doesn't say to love the Lord thy God with part of your heart, a part of your soul, a part of your mind, but to give yourself completely over to God, completely to Him. That means not being a good Christian at church when the doors are open and going home and going back into the filth of this world and doing things in secret. But that means giving yourself wholly over to God. And if you're not doing those things, if you haven't given yourself completely over to God, then it's time to come with sincerity, with a sincere heart, and make an honest confession to God and see what happens. See what happens if you'll follow this prescription. And I don't mean to tire you and bore you with these things. This is the prescription that God gave us to follow. If we'll just follow this prescription, that we have a promise that God will prove to us that we have taken the vaccine. Do you have the proof that you've taken the vaccine? He said, know that the ultimate is God's word. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 11, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God, of Christ, unto another gospel. He said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. In other words, to know that the gospel is your ultimate. In other words, to say it another way, our own ideas are not the authority. What your friend says to you is not the authority. What different preachers in the message say is not the authority. If it deviates from the word of God is the ultimate authority. And if you follow the word of God and receive it with sincerity, with an honest and a contrite heart, it will manifest what it says. It will prove to you. It will be the interpretation of the word. It will be the proof that you have taken the vaccine. He said, look to what God has said and he has promised, and that is your ultimate. In Revelation chapter 22, it says, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Why? Because the word of God is our ultimate. And then Brother Branham goes on to say, know that what you're seeing being done is God. If you can recognize God's presence, if you can recognize that when a minister's up behind the pulpit and saying what agrees with the word and recognize God's presence, something will happen. In Luke chapter 24, verse 30, they were on the road to Emmaus. They went behind the closed door and they hadn't recognized him until he did something in their midst. And it says, and then their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. When your eyes become open to the presence of God, something's bound to happen. Now, I remember years ago, I was in a little meeting. It was just a little small little country church, and the service seemed so dry and maybe like, well, it just seemed, you know, a lot of people were real sleepy. I think there was somebody on the front row that had fallen asleep, and just looking around, this seems like an old, tired church. But right in the midst of that service, a young man in the back of the church, his eyes became open to the presence of God, that God cared. And even right there in the midst of that, what seemed like an old tired assembly, that young man, I remember being astounded at how God can move. If God can touch a heart, it don't matter if the whole rest of the assembly is falling asleep or whatever. That young man came up to the altar and he began to cry out to God right in the middle of the service because his eyes came open. And he began to realize that God cared for him, and so he responded by caring for God. You see, it doesn't matter what we look so many times at everybody else and the circumstances and everything, but if God can just touch your heart, if you'll respond and be receptive to his calling, something will happen. remember the story in 1 Kings of Elijah sitting there, and he heard all the earthquake and all the fire and all those kind of things. But what got him, what caused him to recognize the presence of God was that still small voice speaking to his heart. If you'll just hear that still small voice, listen, people might be running and jumping around you, or they might not be. People might be sitting there with half eyes and falling asleep. But if you'll just recognize that that's that still small voice speaking to you, God can move to you and God can do something to you. And then Brother Branham said, confess everything that they have did. If you'll confess everything that you've done. Now, listen, he's preparing the people to receive what they have need of before they come into the prayer line. He's giving them a recipe to receive what they have need of so that they can receive healing or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said, I believe that a man or a woman coming to be prayed for should first confess everything that they have did and make everything right. Because you see, you notice lots of times on the platform, you notice, watch how far away that thus saith the Lord is. Let's pause and meditate on that quote for a second. How far away thus saith the Lord is. Now, he said, people's faith can bring a vision. They come through the prayer line and the vision will show them what their street number is. The vision will show them where they were born or what their name is. The vision will show them all those kind of things. But he says, look how far away thus saith the Lord is. Now you think as many people was walked through the prayer line, go back and listen how many times he would tell them, thus saith the Lord, you are healed. Thus saith the Lord, you have received. Now, many times they would come through and he'd say, go on your way believing and you'll receive what you ask. Go on your way. But how many times did he say, thus saith the Lord? How far away is that, thus saith the Lord? Now, Brother Branham's not here with us now, but yet you can still have the confidence of a revelation that Jesus Christ gives to you personally, where you know, despite what the doctor tells you, despite what people, all the naysayers around the world, despite what anybody tells you, you can have that same confidence in your heart today that somebody going through that prayer line got when Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord. I believe you can still have that same confidence. And how do you get that same confidence? Wake up for a little bit. It's by following the recipe. Follow the recipe. Confess everything that you've done. Come sincerely with an honest and a contrite heart. Come believing, accepting, recognizing that that's not just a man behind the pulpit, but when he reads the quotes from the prophet, when he says what Brother Branham said, when he says what the Bible says, recognize that God is in the house, God is in the midst, and that he cares for you. And then you will respond with caring yourself. If you see, the problem is your heart, it's not your head. In your head, you can receive all this knowledge, but if your heart begins to respond with caring, when you begin to care back, something will happen. Brother Branham said, unless the world repents, it's got to perish. See, and confession is what the world needs today, is honest confession. I remember, and I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but one time I was preaching on repentance, and I just got to preaching on repentance a lot. And after a service, somebody came up to me and said, you preach on repentance too much. I wish you would preach on something else. But you know what? I believe that's what the church needs. I believe the church needs to repent. I believe the church needs to confess. I believe maybe that's what we need more than ever, is to get serious enough with God to where we find out whether we have taken the vaccine or not. Because I believe, I perceive that many have not taken the vaccine that's been prescribed to us. We've read what's on the bottle. We've read the Bible. We've got the letter on the page, but we haven't received it the way that it's been prescribed to us. And then he said, get away from anything anybody tells you contrary. Get away from anything anybody tells you contrary. In Amos chapter 3, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Not listening to all your negative friends, all your unbelieving friends that tell you that all the many things that they think are wrong with the message, that they think are wrong with the Bible. Get away from all that negativity and get yourself centered. Get your head stuck in the Holy of Holies. Get so far into the Holy of Holies until all you can hear is the cherubim's wings. All you can hear is the beating of the wings of God as he ministers to you and proves his word to you. Get so far away from all the commotion of the world until you're not afraid of the coronavirus. You're not afraid of the things that are falling on the earth. Get so far in there until you know whether or not you have taken the vaccine or not. like that eagle in the barnyard story Brother Branham told, you know, how the eagle began to recognize that he wasn't a chicken. When you recognize that you're not a chicken, you don't want to be with the chickens anymore. You don't want to be with the chickens. You want to be with the eagles. And that's why he hopped up on the fence post and began to listen to that voice screaming down from up on high, because he realized there was something different about himself. There was something, you know what was different was that God knew from before the foundation of the world that that eagle would care. When that mama eagle went over that chicken barnyard, that mama eagle was caring for that little eagle down in the barnyard, and the little eagle in the barnyard cared. He cared enough to listen. He cared enough to get out of that chicken yard. And then Brother Brown said, and then everything that you hope to be, everything about yourself must be placed upon this, just as though it was death and life to you at that moment. Because it is. You know, many times we've talked about how we don't hang people over hellfire like some denominations and that kind of thing. But I wonder if it's time to get a little bit serious. You know, Brother Brown said, in one place he said, if the floor just were to open up and you could gaze down into hell, you would see the people in hell climbing over one another, trying to get another chance to hear the gospel, trying to get another chance to receive the gospel. And you are still alive. There's breath in your body and you still have a chance to receive this gospel. Don't give up this chance that you've got, because they wish that they could have another chance. They wish that they could have one more opportunity to sit in a service like you do. I wonder maybe if we could just kind of express to you the danger that so many souls are in this hour, to not realize how much God cares for you, to turn that down. My. Amen. See, he cares, but do you care? Amen. Do you care enough to follow the prescription to the letter? Do you care enough to take the medicine? You see, I believe that this message, he cares, do you care, is really a doctor examination. Where Brother Branham, it's like you come into the doctor's office and you're listening to the sermon and you're laying on the table or sitting there on the table with the paper on it, and you're letting the doctor look at you and examine you. And the doctor's looking at you and you say, well, I still got pain. I still got pain in my leg. I still got all these symptoms of sin. And the doctor will look at you, Dr. Brother Branham, as you're listening to the message. The doctor is looking at you and saying, well, did you take the medicine? Did you take the medicine? Because if you took the medicine, there's a promise with the medicine that if you take the medicine, that it will be manifested in your life. If you take the medicine, you will get the Holy Ghost. If you take it in the right way, you will get the Holy Ghost. And it's not something like we were talking about these young people that will say, well, who knows how long it's going to take me to get the new birth. It might be 5 years from now. Who knows? I think it's time to get serious about getting the new birth, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Saying things about, well, I don't even know, the rapture might not come until we're all my parents are dead and gone. Why would you even say something like that? Do you know the scripture says that they would say he delayeth his coming, he's putting it off? But his coming is right now. His coming is right now, because his coming is the revealing of his word. If his coming is the revealing of his word, I wonder if you could be missing his coming right now. I wonder if you could be missing the rapture right now and not realize it. So as we examine you, get up on the doctor's table, we examine you and look you over. Have you taken the doctor's medicine? Have you taken the medicine? Brother Branham said, but we took it. But we took it. We've been to church. We read the label and we think that's taken. And he said, and if you say you took it and the patient shows no results, he didn't take it. In this message, he said, he that heareth my word, for instance, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life. Or King James puts it, everlasting, which is eternal, has eternal life because he's believed. Many people say they believe. Now that is true. The scripture is correct. I'm reading the prescription. I'm reading what the prescription is and the antidote for my sin. But can I take it? Can I believe? I might say I believe, but do I believe? That's the next thing. Just read it and know the directions. Doesn't cure the disease. The trouble is that in our case, we won't take what the remedy says do. We got the remedy. but we won't take it. We say we do because we can read it, but to really take it, we don't do it. I hope this is really sinking in and it's not putting anybody to sleep. Wake up just for a little bit longer. We're almost over. See, the gospel is the same way a medicine in this case. If the patient and the remedy has been proven to cure the patient, and the patient reads all about the discovery of this drug, and they know every ounce of medicine that's in it, they know all the scientists' name that found this certain drug, like the, do you realize what he's saying? There's a mess. We know there's a message. We know that God sent a prophet. We know all these people that preached before. We know all the big names. We know all these things. If we know all the word about it, but refuse to take it, it won't help us. So as we examine ourselves this morning, let's see what the proof is that you have taken the vaccine. Amen. Has your appetite changed? Amen. When you take this vaccine, you will not be hungering and thirsting for the things of this world. Your appetite will be for the word of God, like that dream that Zach had where he was sitting at the table and all, he just kept eating and eating and eating and eating, and he never got full because he was hungry. He was hungry for the word. And that's the effect of taking the vaccine. When you're like, when you begin to get ambivalent and uncaring about coming to church, well, I just don't care. I don't care about, if you say I don't care about listening to the sermons, if you say I don't care about getting into my Bible, I wonder if you have taken the vaccine. I wonder if you care enough about getting in the Word. I wonder if you care enough that Jesus cares. Have your desires changed? Has God changed your desires from the things of this world? Can you look back through your life and see that once you were like this, but now you're like this? Once you were maybe desired to smoke cigarettes and desired to do all those things, all the things of the flesh. I know what we believe about the flesh and all that kind of thing. Listen, have your desires changed? Examine yourself to see if you're in a different spot now than you were years ago. Has a change been wrought in you? Because if you've taken the vaccine, you're not going to be in the same place that you were years ago. And the main thing, have your eyes been opened? When you come to church and you don't understand the things that are being preached, you read your Bible and you don't understand, have you taken the vaccine? Have you received it according to the prescription? Have you received the vaccine? Have your eyes been opened? Have your eyes been open to understanding? Is your character changing? All these tempers and impatience and all that kind of stuff should be falling away as the word is being revealed in you. After a while, you shouldn't see a temper anymore. After a while, you should see that temper, that impatience beginning to fade away. After a while, you should see the love of God being manifested in your life and not being all angry. Because, you know, if you care, if you really care about God, you'll care about your brothers. You care about your sisters, the real love of God being made manifest in you. I'm trying to wind up here, but you see, you got to be born again. You must be born again. And to be born again, you've got to care. You've got to, if you come to church and you're, well, that preacher's just going to preach another tired. So, you know the reason it's a tired old sermon? A lot of times it's because you don't care. It's because, you know, somebody that comes like that story I was telling you, a little brother in the back of that seemed like an old tired church, but he cared. And that church service was not old, dried up to him. It didn't matter if people were running all the aisles or not, but that church service meant something to him because he was dying out to his old self and something was being quickened in him. If you'll begin to care, it won't be an old dried up service anymore. Brother Branham says it, and he cares. Do you care? He said, you take a person and says that they are, I am a believer. I believe. Let the gospel light strike them, brother. They'll take it right now. If you say you're a believer, when the word is preached, you'll take it. You'll receive it. And they'll show results. That's the proof that you've taken the vaccine, is when you see results, signs and wonders will follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils in my name. They shall take up deadly serpents. They shall drink deadly things. They shall do all these things. Why? Because they've taken the vaccine. They've been vaccinated against the things of this world. I believe in a vaccine this morning. And Brother Bram called it a toxin. He said, I believe a toxin. If you've got this toxin, the vaccination in you, it will protect you from all of the elements of the world, all of the things that the devil throws you. And the more of this toxin, this vaccination that you receive, the more protected you are. The more protected. You know, I heard a preacher years ago. And I really like this. He said, the reason that this toxin has, people, ministers have diluted this toxin down until it's not effective anymore. They've watered it down by not sharing with them what Brother Branham preached. They've watered it down to try to get popularity, to try to get people to like them. But my, if we can get to a place where we don't care about whether we're popular or not and share the toxin and its power, there is power in this toxination, in this vaccination to protect you and to show that God cares about you, to show that he's a comfort to you. I know we're getting around that now. I know after about 45 minutes, people begin to kind of, your mind stops working and ticking in the way that it used to. And there's so many things that I wanted to get to this morning about how that Brother Brown said that there's two churches this morning and how that one church is reasoning against the Word of God and the things that Brother Wade's been preaching and about how that it's really a heart condition, not a mind condition where you don't look at it intellectually. See, that's the whole problem is we look at it all intellectually with our mind instead of letting our heart get in a condition to just receive God's word, to just receive his word. So I'm going to stop right there. If the musicians want to go ahead and come. Brother Branham was talking about the condition of this age and just proving that God cares in this age, that he cared for Rahab, an outsider, a harlot. He cared for Elijah. You think about Rahab sitting on that wall, but he cared. And when she cared, he cared for her. He cared for Elijah when he and he alone cared for God. He cared for the Hebrew children when they wouldn't bow down. He cared. He demonstrated his care. But now the point of the whole message is he cared, but you've got to care. If you come to church uncaring and unmoved and, well, I'm not going to listen. I don't really care. Then God can't do anything for you. You got to quench that thirsty soul. So many thirsty souls. If you'll just let God satisfy that soul. Let's stand to our feet and just praise him and worship him.
Oh, more like you.
Given us all the equipment we need to be more like him.
And give me a heart that's filled with love and make me more like thee.
Just lift your hands and worship him this morning. Is that your desire? To be more like Jesus?
Like thee, Jesus, make me whole like thee and give me a heart that's filled with love and make me more like thee.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
show him that you care this morning. Let's worship him. He cares for you. Do you care?
Jesus, make me more like thee. And give me a heart that's filled with love. And make me more like thee.
Bless our sisters,
that's filled with your
Amen. You love him this morning? So many things that God has done to show that he cares for us. And there should be no doubt in our mind that he cares for us. You know, Brother Branham was running through all the scenario. He said God, to the children of Israel, he gave them a prophet with a vindicated word. He gave them a pillar of fire. He gave them all those things. And you know, he's given us the same things in this day. There should be no doubt to us that he cares for us and wants the best for us in this hour. Let's sing another one.
Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free.
Amen.
Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget.
Do you remember what he's done for you?
Just
look back down through your life and remember.
Jesus, I'll never forget.
Has he been there for you all this time? Service is at 2 o'clock. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your spirit this afternoon, Lord. We know that you're present here with us, Lord God, proving once again that you care for us, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you'll be with us, Lord, as we go to our meals, Lord Jesus, and that you'll just bring, Lord, as we return this afternoon at 2 o'clock, Lord, that you'll just be with us and minister through Brother Dale, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to be attentive, Lord Jesus, and to come expecting, Lord God, to see you do something great in our lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for manifesting your word in our lives, for all of the grace that you've given unto us, proving, Lord God, to us that you care, that you're with us, Lord Jesus, that you haven't forgotten us, that you haven't left us alone, Lord God, that you're still moving among your people. We thank you, Lord God, and we give you all the praise and all the honor and glory. Amen. You're dismissed.
What you done for me, oh Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought